Well, everyone's really curious. They're like, what's a toboggan, obviously? So we looked it up just for everyone's curiosity and knowledge. It was a hat that you wore while tobogganing. So that's why they called it a toboggan. Got it? So everyone, I know that you were sitting there going, why in the world? So then finally they removed the name and called it a beanie. There we go. So everyone, now you can rest easy tonight and know what a toboggan is. All right. Hey, so I'm supposed to be done right now. 3 minutes ago, the message is supposed to be finished and we're supposed to be walking out. And what you don't realize is that I didn't just plan a short message. I planned a full review of 2023. And what I did learn about this particular message is that it had the most scriptures that I could possibly find in a message. And I'm not actually pulling your leg. That is the honest truth this morning, that it was the most scriptures that I could find relating to a particular topic. So I'm going to do my very best. So for all you adults that are in this room, I would actually get my journal ready. And don't worry, I'm going to zip through this. You won't be here for much longer. But I have a full-fledged message because I believe it's really important for us to understand this going into 2024. All right, here we go. So for all of us in this room, we've tried to tell our children what Trinity is, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We're sitting here trying to describe what the Trinity is. Now, I know that Miss Christian, she does a fantastic job. All of the children's workers, they have done a fantastic job in teaching your children this. And you've probably seen this illustration done before. But, you know, one of my favorite to describe Trinity, even though it's not the best, because none of it's going to be the best, because Trinity in itself is a pretty big theological topic, all right? But one of my favorite illustrations is fire. Fire itself represents God, and then you see that the light of the fire represents Jesus, and then the heat represents the Holy Spirit. It's one of my favorite ones to show children, especially around a bonfire, camping out at night, whatever it is. But one of the ones I'm most familiar with is the apple. Now, the apple is one that we should all be pretty familiar with, meaning the outside, the wholeness is God when you open it up, and then the skin itself actually gives protection. So you open it up, you see that you have the flesh. Let's use this side because it's got seeds in it. The flesh inside here represents Jesus. Because why? Because God wrapped himself in flesh and put him to earth. And then you have the seeds, and that represents the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's planted inside of you and is helping you grow to full maturity. So that's what I really love about the Holy Spirit. Now, when you open up, this particular example, now, when you open up the Word of God, you see that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So we can actually open up another apple, and we can cut it, and we can go, all right, how does this work? Well, we have our body, which is the outside, and then the inside, we have the soul, and then on the seeds, we have the spirit. Now, what's wonderful about this is you acknowledge that the body, there it is, right? And then the soul, which represents your mind, your emotions, all right? So the soul has all of like, just all of the stuff, all right? Then there's the spirit. Now, we know that when you get born again, then your old spirit dies, and then God puts a new spirit inside of you, and this is where the seed comes in. And the new spirit actually begins to teach your soul how you should think, how you should feel. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful picture. Now, how does this happen? Well, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, or 4, verse 12, it says that the Word of God actually will separate the soul and the spirit, that it's sharper than two-edged sword. So this gives us the ability to look at the Word of God and actually teach us what we need to do, how we need to be separated from the soul of this world, because the soul of this world wants to teach us all kinds of crazy things. And as you begin to open up the Word of God, you're going to be able to see the discerning of the Spirit, those things of like, I need to fix this. I need to correct these things. So God talks to us through the Spirit. It says this in John chapter 6, verse 63. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. So we know that God is speaking to us through that spirit man, and then we should be examining ourselves on a regular basis to understand what we should and shouldn't be doing. Now, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 through 11, Jesus is giving a statement, a parable, to the Pharisees, because the Pharisees are real religious people. The Pharisees are stuck on how you should do certain things when it's actually not biblical. These things that they were stuck on actually just promoted them and gave them what they wanted. So in Matthew 15, verse 7, it says, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. For he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God.' Then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear and listen," he said, "and try to understand. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. These things that come out are coming from the soul, and we have to get our soul aligned with our spirit," all right? So in Matthew 15, 18 through 19, it says, "But the words you speak come from the heart, and that's what defiles you. For from the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander." So we have to be careful what we associate ourselves with, because that soul will begin to speak out. So that's what we always hear in the nursery rhyme: be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Why? Because, man, you can cause rot to take place in these apples, and you got to be really careful. So if you open up an apple, you see all the goodness, you're like, "Oh, I love apples. These apples are just, you know, wonderful." But there needs to be an examining. So when an orchard owner, a farmer, will go around, he'll check his orchard. He'll be looking for certain things. He'll look for bruises and holes outside of his apples. Why? Because this allows those tiny little micro-eating things to come in and destroy the apple. There's a lot of things that can destroy apples. One can actually be dark places. So we got to be careful about the dark places. But we also got to be careful about bruising. Bruising can actually cause decay and rot. Bruising is hard. Guys, how many times you've been bruised in life, right? It's tough. Pierced, so many different things have happened. You know what also is, if you put a bad apple with another apple, what happens? It gets bad. So we actually see in Psalm 1, verse 1, it talks about the joy of the person who doesn't hang around those that are bad. So we need to be careful who we hang around with, because what happens is that when the word of God comes in and cuts you open, it's going to see who you really are, and you're full of worms and decay. Oh, gross, right? Oh, man. But we got to be so careful. We have to know what we're putting ourselves, what we're putting in ourselves and feeding ourselves. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, one of my favorite chapters, and obviously one of my favorite books, is James. Let me get rid of this worm real quick. All right? I couldn't swallow it. I tried. All right, here we go. James chapter 1, 23 through 25. "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in whatever they do." So as the farmer would go check on his crops, we have to open up our word on a regular basis, and we have to mirror ourselves to this word. It's important that we pull it up and that we look at it and we get ourselves aligned, that we hear what the Spirit is saying, because God speaks to us through the Spirit. So when we line ourselves up in the word of God, we're able to look at the reflection and say, is this a perfect reflection? Am I doing what the word of God says for me to do? It's important because the word of God gives you that perfect picture. It explains to you how you should work and operate daily. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
That's right.
This is really important. These scriptures are not just talking about the spirit. It's like the idea of when you're saved, but the body, this is important. Many people have this notion of like when you get saved, it's like, oh, okay, so everything's transformed. Actually, no, I would love to tell you if you were puny when you got saved, that you were going to be some strong muscle man or woman, but you're not. You're still puny. So when you get saved, some people have this notion of like, oh, I'm going to change. And so, no, actually, if you were skinny before, you were skinny after. And if you were big before, you were big after you got saved. If you think, oh, man, my soul is going to change when I get saved, well, I hate to tell you, but if you were not so smart before you got saved, you're not going to be so smart after you get saved. There's just this understanding of salvation that people need to grasp, but the salvation is the spirit inside of you. So these scriptures, they're talking about the whole self being transformed, but it starts from the spirit man out. So follow with me again. Most people think, oh, when I get saved, it's just my spirit. Actually, everything is going to transform, not overnight, but throughout. You're going to be known by your fruits. We know this, Galatians chapter 5. You are known by your fruits. So that's the outside of what's happening on the inside. So that does transform, but it takes action. That's why we hear in James that we will be known by our works. Why? Because faith without works is dead. So that's important that you understand the faith that you have in the scriptures, in what God is telling you to do, you're going to see that come out because your soul is aligning with the word of God and telling you what to do so that you're not this emotional being where it's like, oh man, I'm just bound to anger and bound to bitterness. But actually, a full transformation can take place. So we see in Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out Abba, Father, so you are no longer a slave. So you begin to have knowledge of who you are, but God's child, no longer a slave, but God's child. Since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So our mind must be renewed daily so that our spirit man speaks louder than our body. Okay, so our spirit man's got to speak out those things that are according to God's words. Boy, that's difficult at times. So difficult. We fall into these traps of wanting to say, oh me and oh my. And we identify ourselves with the things of this world, but God says this, tells us to separate. So in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So we're not our old selves because sin has lost its power because we see ourselves through the new spirit living inside of us. It's really important. Romans chapter 6 covers all of this. So when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So in Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14, it says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. So our new spirit must flow through our soul to get into our body to the physical world. So that's why we hear Jesus saying in the Lord's Prayer, he's saying, as it is in heaven, as it is on earth, that we are able to hear from God to our spirit man to operate in the kingdom ways here on this earth, that the spirit will remind us what we should and shouldn't do. So what hinders this? Well, everyone should know these things that are in your soul, these mind and emotions that we have. What affects that is anger and bitterness, right? Strife. But you know what also counteracts those things is love, joy, peace. When we operate from the fruits of the Spirit, we actually are in operation in a beautiful picture of what Psalm actually tells us in Psalm 1. In verse 1, it says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." So it's really important that we don't allow the things of this world to hinder us from what God is telling our spirit man to actually bring out. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Again, holding up your word and aligning yourself to God's word as the mirror, that this is the reflection that we should be reflecting. Because in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guys, I don't know about you, but how am I going into 2024? That's the question that I have. That's the question I have for you this morning is, how are you going into 2024? Are you going in with rotten, bitter, angry? Are you sitting here with strife? Are you going in there whole? Are you going in there completely whole with the Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of you? Are you willing to be an instrument for God's purpose here on this earth? When I look at 2024, I look at blessing. I don't look at rot. I don't look at strife. I don't look at these exterior things that are waging war against us. I look to see what God's kingdom is doing. I want to go in with a greater measure of preparedness. I want to go in knowing what God has for me and not what the world wants to take from me. I'm not going to be an empty vessel going into 2024. I'm going to be a vessel overflowing with what God has for me. I'm going to go in ready for whatever God has for me. So I want all of us to stand to our feet, and we're going to worship. Just going out of this service, we're going to worship a little bit longer here because I want us to give God the glory, and that we're going to choose right now the victory over the grave, that you have a choice right now. This is a shift. What Jesus has explained to all of us time and time again, Jesus has told us to let go of the cares of this world, right? He tells us to not carry these things. He's told us time and time again that we need to be fixed on him, on what he's doing, that we need to know that. Well, that comes with our spirit man aligning with the kingdom of God, all right? So I'm going to ask the prayer care workers to come up. Going into 2024, I want us to be 100% ready to go. If there is something that you need to pluck out, if there is something that just you need to release, well, right now the altars are open. And as we worship together right now, I want you to feel the freedom to come up and just pray. Let's just go into 2024 refreshed, ready to go, that you've asked God to take care of everything. So if that's you right now, just come on down. We're going to worship for a little bit longer.